We're in chapter 31, or 30, actually.
She's rubbing it in.
What'd you bring that up for, Al? So what'd you bring that up for?
I thought that's what, I thought maybe that was what was starting up.
No.
No, we're trying to lay that to rest.
Oh, yeah.
Bring it in the end.
It's not about the rest in peace.
Well, I didn't get anything going anyway.
You got my emotions going again. You made me cry.
Trust me, you don't want to see that. I saw that Sunday night. It's,
I got some wipes in here.
It's sad. All right, we are in Genesis chapter 30. We're going to finish up chapter 30, and then we will proceed to chapter 31. We're going to start in verse 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives, my children, for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you." And Laban said to him, "Please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." Then he said, "Name me your wages, and I will give it." So Jacob said to him, "You know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now when shall I also provide for my own house?" So he said, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flocks today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come. When the subject of my wages comes before you, every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me." And Laban said, "Oh, that it were according to your word." All right, so 14 years has passed. That is, Jacob worked for 7 years in order to marry Rachel, ended up with Rachel, Leah, and two handmaids, and worked another 7 years. At the end of that second 7 years, he comes to Laban and says, "I've worked my time, and now let me go home. Allow me to return." And Laban said, doesn't want him to return. He says, "If I've found favor in your sight, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." Laban is fully conscious, fully aware of the fact that he's being blessed financially in a matter of prosperity because Jacob is with him. He's being blessed because of Jacob, not because of himself, okay? And so he wants Jacob to stay. So he basically tells Jacob, "What can I give you to stay?" And it's interesting when you look at this, he's not worried about the children leaving. He's not worried about his daughters leaving. He's knows that God is blessing him because Jacob is here. And so he wants Jacob to remain. Now, that's going to be interesting when we come to chapter 31. But he says, what can we do? What can I give you? Jacob says, "You can't give me anything. It's time for me to provide for my own house. I've been providing for yours long enough." And so Jacob says, "We'll do this. To have a visible method to show that there's been no wrongdoing, the speckled and spotted sheep, the brown lambs, the ones that are in the eyes of the sense of purity in a flock and herd, the discolored ones, the disfigured ones, the lesser quality." He says, "You give those to me so that my righteousness will attest for itself when in the future, when, you know, if there's ever a claim that I have taken something wrongfully, all you have to do is walk through the flock, and if they're all speckled and spotted or brown, you know I haven't cheated you, because all of them that belong to me look completely different from the ones that belong to you. Laban says, great. Because in Laban's mind, oh, he's taking the inferior ones. There's less of those to begin with. Great. Okay? So, verse 35. So he, Laban, removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hands of his sons. Notice that, okay? Laban's flock stays with Jacob. Jacob's flock stays with Laban's sons, okay? That'll be interesting later on, all right? So, Laban gives Jacob's flock to his sons, Laban's sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. Okay? So, here's Jacob tending and taking care of all of Laban's flocks, and Laban gives Jacob's flock to his own sons and sends them 3 days away. So, it's not like, you know, Jacob's going to be picking up a couple lambs and toss them over into his flock. There's 3 days' journey between the two flocks. Okay? Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of almond and chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs where the flock came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the street, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flocks. Came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. When the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger were Jacob's. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. All right, so basically, Jacob proceeds through a process whereby the lambs are or the flocks are going to bring forth more of what he is going to get. Now, some people say, well, this is purely an ancient superstition. There's no verifiable reason why this would have worked. It was just something that, you know, they believed in ancient times would happen, and so it's really just hogwash. Okay. Now, if this were all there was to it, and if the only reason why Jacob's flocks were increasing was because he was doing this, I would agree. It's hogwash. But that's not what's going on. Jacob is doing this, but who's causing the increase? God is. And that's going to be very, very apparent as time goes on. Okay? Was it an ancient superstition? Could be. There are some indications from ancient sources and histories that maybe it was. But have we ever seen or heard of God using something that was a common belief that wasn't necessarily right or wrong one way or another as far as morally, use a common belief or a common practice to bring about his ends? Certainly. All right? That's not unheard of at all, that God used a method that was normal in the thought patterns of the everyday person and use it to bring about blessings toward an individual. Okay? So
it does seem to me that Jacob is a little sly in this.
Jacob hasn't quite overcome his general character of deception. Or let's see, his name means what?
Usurper.
Okay? And you might remember that Esau said when the birthright was stolen, he is named right. for certainly he is as he was named. He is the usurper. All right? So, now, this is going to become clearer in chapter 31 as to not just Jacob's actions, but Laban's actions. All right, let's get a couple.
Can we not see from this though that God can use even deceitful people or sly people to work through to obtain his means?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's part of the discussion we've had on Sunday nights dealing with Saul and Jacob is the fact that God, with David, God didn't need someone to lie or to deceive someone else or to sin in order to protect Jacob, or excuse me, protect David. Simultaneously, God did use the choices of individuals, sometimes even when those choices were wrong, and use them to his own end to protect David. Okay? So, while God didn't need the help, at times when the person made the choice, God still used it to his end. It's really a great illustration of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. That all things work together for good unto them that love the Lord. And the emphasis of the point is God can take a terrible situation and use it to the good of his people. He can use a great situation to the good of his people. It doesn't matter because God is sovereign. He is all powerful. He is capable of doing what he wants and achieving his goal with or without us. Okay? And that's truly a significant point from these passages. This passage, God uses Jacob's actions. In other passages, God does it in spite of their actions. Okay? So, question number 7 of the questions for chapter 30. For what wages did Jacob agree to stay with Laban and continue to work? All right, the speckled and spotted and brown of the flocks. Okay? Chapter 31. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all this wealth. Now, I just mentioned that the fact that Laban's sons are watching Jacob's flock would become important. As Jacob's flock continues to grow and not only becomes a flock, but multiple flocks, guess who's having to watch it? Laban's sons. And their reaction as God continues to bless Jacob, and we're going to find out later that there's been 6 years between chapter 30 and verse 25 and chapter 31. 6 years have passed, and Laban's son's reaction is, Jacob's taken away all that was our father's. Laban's been, over the last 14 years, has become prosperous, 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 prosperous. And now, all of that prosperity is being transferred to Jacob through this agreement that Laban made with Jacob. It's kind of like, I don't know if y'all remember, back when Wachovia actually existed. They came out with the way to save account. Every time you swiped your debit card, they moved a dollar into the savings account for you. You know, just automatic transfer. Well, that's kind of what happened. Every time the flocks gave birth, there was an automatic transfer from Laban's flock to Jacob's flock. Every single time. And it was always the strongest and the best that got transferred. Okay? And it was God doing it. Laban had been blessed the whole time because Jacob was there and God was blessing Jacob. Laban was receiving the benefit. Now, God's still blessing Jacob, but it's to Laban's detriment. Okay?
Even though Laban thought he had made a real
mess. Oh, yes. He said, oh, that it was according to your word. All right? Remember that phrase. Oh, that it was according to your word. All right? He was more than happy to make the agreement to the deal. So Laban's sons say, he's acquired all of this wealth from our fathers. He's taken everything that our father has. Now, that's not true. He hadn't taken everything. But the scales had tipped tremendously. All right? Verse 2, and Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Laban doesn't look as happy nowadays whenever he sees Jacob. Now, you can imagine, first 14 years, everything's going great, prosperity, 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 and it's Jacob's fault. Every time Laban sees Jacob, he's happy. Hey, that's my favorite son-in-law. And now, every time he sees Jacob, that's the guy who's robbing me blind, okay? That's the shift in mentality, and Jacob knows it, all right? So he hears that Laban's sons are unhappy, they're disgruntled, Laban is unhappy, he's disgruntled. Now, when you're living with a family and the whole family hates you, in Jacob's life, that means it's time to get out of Dodge, okay? So, verse 3. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock. And he said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled and spotted shall be your wages, then all the flocks were bore speckled. And if he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock from your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped were upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angels of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see, all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land, and return to the land of your family. Okay? So, Jacob is told by the Lord, go home. Return to the land of your fathers, to your family, and I will be with you. All right? First, we'll go ahead and do the questions as we go along. Verse 1, what did Laban's sons accuse Jacob of doing? Taking everything, okay? So, verse 1, the answer is taking everything. And that basically all of Jacob's wealth actually belongs to Laban, okay? That's their point, is in this process of taking everything, Jacob is wealthy now, but it really all belongs to Laban in their mind. They're saying he's stealing, okay? That's the concept of their accusation. Whose decision, verse 3, was it for Jacob to leave, not Laban, leave Laban? God's. Okay? Jacob notices these things. He notices their disgruntledness. He notices Laban's unhappiness. But God is the one who said, leave. Okay?
Is this return to your kindred and your land? Is that the land of Canaan?
Yes. Yes. All right. So, how many times had Laban changed Jacob's wages?
10 times.
Is that literal? Is that hyperbole?
I believe it's literal because, again, in verse 41, Jacob says it the same way to Laban, and Laban doesn't disagree. So I believe that is a literal, in 10 times in 6 years, that this has been the case. Okay? How did God identify himself to Jacob? In a dream, but what? The God that appeared to him in Bethel. Okay? So the indication is seemingly that though God had been blessing him for the last 20 years, God hadn't been appearing to him or giving him visions or speaking to him over that 20 years. He's been in the land. He's stayed in the land. Everything is as it should have been, but God now appears to him again and says, it's time to leave, and by the way, I'm the same God that spoke to you at Bethel. Okay? Just reaffirming his identity to Jacob.
So you don't think in that time that Jacob was there that Jacob was not in communication with God? Because that kind of would not make sense with how, if God was going to be with Jacob, that Jacob would be obedient to him.
It seems as though that there's no indication that God was giving him visions and such. Not that Jacob wasn't obedient and through prayer and other such means, but that even though Jacob may have been continuing to function in that capacity, the out of the ordinary supernatural means whereby God would communicate with Jacob, there's no indication that that was taking place. This is a very pointed emphasis of who it is that's telling Jacob it's time to go. Okay? Now, again, it's that statement's made upon lack of evidence, not necessarily firm evidence saying God didn't speak to him. It's here's an indication from the way God speaks to him that tends to indicate, because of the lack of evidence of God having spoken to him during these 20 years, that probably God hasn't. And that's not unusual. You see plenty of years breaks between the time God speaks to Abraham and the next time God speaks to Abraham in some miraculous means. Okay? But there's no reason to indicate or believe that Abraham wasn't faithful in between those times. All right.
Where is the verse that says that, where Jacob says, since he's going to do all, since God's going to do all this for me, then I will obey God?
That is chapter 28, verse 20. If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of that you gave me, I will surely give a tenth to you.
That seems kind of like a starting place of his faithfulness to God.
I believe it is in the sense of, not necessarily that he was not faithful to God or wasn't raised to worship God, but it's an entry point in the concept of the patriarchal age, where he's being recognized as a separate family now from Isaac, okay? Keeping in mind that patriarchal age, God commonly worked through, communicated with the patriarch, oldest male in the family. So I believe this is the beginning of God's recognition of Jacob as the patriarch of his own family.
So could it be that God was communicating with Laban?
Um, I think it's pretty clear, some people disagree with me, but I think it's pretty clear that Laban is actually an idolater. That there may be some indication that he recognizes the God of Jacob, every reference you have from Laban's mouth concerning God is always very akin to Pharaoh's references concerning God. The Lord, your God. The Lord, your God. The God of heaven, your God. It's always a reference to, or even, you're going to see later on in this chapter, the God of your fathers, Abraham and Isaac. Okay? It's never a personal reference to a relationship that Laban has with God. Okay? And simultaneously, we're obviously going to see the reference to household gods and household idols that Laban has. Okay? So, this is my personal belief that Laban wasn't a worshiper of God. Now, we're down to verse...
Is there any more questions?
All right, verse 15. Or verse 14. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, "Is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it." Their first reply is... In verse 11, is there any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? God told me it's time to go. Well, there's nothing left for us here. We've got it all anyway. So that's kind of their attitude. I mean, there's no inheritance for us from our father's house. When you consider Jacob has sons to begin with, the inheritance would not have gone primarily to the daughters. But the indication of the remainder of the statement is everything that would have been their inheritance belongs to Jacob now anyway. So it's not like we're staying here when you leave, is the idea. So they indicate it, if that's what God has said, then we shall go. But I think it's interesting in verse 15. Are we not considered strangers by him? The relationship between Laban and his daughters was not that which was consistent and that which you would consider between a father and his daughters. It seems to be the case that as Jacob grew richer, they got pushed farther and farther away. Laban desired to see them less and less and less, seems to be the indication from their response, that they became strangers to him. Okay? She says, "For he has sold us and completely consumed our money." Instead of the typical concept of a dowry, that which goes with the daughter when they are married, which we never read anything about, that doesn't even exist anymore. They said Laban's consumed all of that, and he sold us to begin with. Sold them? How so? 7 years of labor to begin with, another 7 years of labor afterwards, for the explicit intent of keeping Jacob around because he was prospering from Jacob.
His concern was always for the money, not for his family.
His concern was always for himself and his money. Okay. Say what? Meal ticket? Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So that's how did Leah and Rachel describe what their father did in giving them to Jacob as wives? He sold them. Okay, verse 17. Then Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on camels, and he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, and acquired livestock which he had gained in Padan-Aram, to go to his father's to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, And Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. And Jacob stole away, unknown to Laban, unknown to Laban the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. Okay, so they say, let's go. And Laban is out shearing the sheep. The indication is he's 3 days' journey away because he's with his sheep. And Jacob calls his wives to his own flocks. Okay? So Jacob is with his flocks, Laban is with his flocks, and we already know there's 3 days' journey between the two. All right? So Laban is gone. Jacob packs up, puts the family on the camels, and heads off. All right? Doesn't say a word about it, just leaves. He takes all that he acquired, all his possessions, all his livestock, all his family with him. Verse 22, and Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. Then he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days' journey, and he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. Okay? So, as soon as Laban hears what's happened 3 days later, he mounts up with his men and heads off to chase him down. Takes him 7 days to catch up. You could kind of work out, you know, one of those paragraph math problems that you used to have to do in school. This train left this station going this speed at this time. This train left this station at this speed, leaving at this time. When, at what point did this train catch up to this train? Well, that's kind of like this. Laban's moving faster than Jacob is. To be expected. Laban's not taking flocks, herds, women, or children. Okay? So that tends to slow down the travel. That's the second bell. And I guess we'll wait in gripping anticipation for what happens when Laban arrives. Or you can read the chapter for next week. And one of these days, we'll get a shorter chapter and be able to get through a whole chapter at once.